You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to face reality. It's over. We're all screwed. We can stop pretending. You know, I mean, listen, they're on to us. You know, we put on a good front. I mean, Packer fans, Vikings, all of us really, but let's just talk as Packer fans here. We pretend that we think the Bears are pathetic. Really, it's just because we're scared. All this stuff that we've been saying, it's not true. It's not true. Making fun of Justin Fields, laughing at the lack of anything that's come in, laughing at the fact that, you know, their quarterback history, the thing where they traded up to number one and picked Trubisky instead of Mahomes, the fact that last year when we were screaming Justin Fields isn't the guy, you guys said that was stupid. Plus, there's no quarterbacks. You skip on a guy that looks like he's a really good quarterback in C.J. Stroud. He's from Ohio State, to add injury to insult there. And then so you stick with Justin Fields a little bit too long. You assume that if you build around him, everything will be fine. You build around him, and everything is fine, aside from the quarterback, which is what we freaking told you. But really, all of this comes down to us being jealous and being scared, because you're getting Caleb Williams, and let's face it, Pat Mahomes wishes he was Caleb Williams. You know, Justin Fields, let's face it, he had abs and swag, but nothing compares to Caleb Williams. The way that he conducts himself, the way he carries himself, the way he carries his purse and his pink phone, the way he carries all the things that he owns, you can't help but respect it. He is a man's man. He is a great friend and a great leader. I hear he has a great father that people love. They love his dad a lot. Nobody had anything bad to say about him at the combine. It was all positive. The Bears are over the moon excited, and everybody's jealous, and so are we. And we got to stop lying about these things. There is no debate who the top quarterback is. It's Caleb. I mean, there's great quarterbacks in this draft class, but Caleb Williams stands head and shoulders, I think works. Not the dandruff thing. Just, you know, he stands above them because he's better. And I don't know that anybody disputes that. There's good, there's great, there's elite, there's generational, and then there's Caleb Williams. So today we're going to dive into Caleb Williams a little bit. We're going to get to know the man. If you can even call him a man. I don't mean in reference to the flamboyant feminineness and crying and all that. I meant you can't call him a mere mortal. You know what I mean? I don't mean he's a woman at all. That would be inappropriate. No, I mean he's not just a mere man. He's better than that. He's immortal. He's like Highlander. You know, he lives forever as long as he cuts off people's heads. I think that's a requirement. I'm not sure. Otherwise, you just live for... you live forever until somebody cuts off your head. But nobody does, because he is the Highlander and he's the best of the head cutter offers. And people try, but they fail to cut off his head. He instead cuts off their head when they try. And then he, like, takes on their power. So there's that. So let's get started looking at Caleb Williams here. The Candyman, in fact, is his nickname. Or Superman. He goes by a lot of different nicknames. So I want to start off here, just kind of an explanation of why he is the best, why he's the top quarterback prospect, and what makes him just, you know, so much better than all the other top quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best quarterback in the draft is Jaden Daniels. I think talented.
I'm sorry. That was the wrong clip. Okay. Well, I got it queued up. I guess we'll just play it.
Is Caleb Williams talented? Is that natural applied skill, yes, where best is the most excellent and effective quality? And I think when we're watching both of these young men play, and the great thing is, either team that drafts these guys, I think Washington and Chicago are solid places for them to go. Now, I still think Minnesota's going to try to go.
So good. Yeah, I mean, I can't, honestly, I can't think of two better places to send a quarterback than Washington and Chicago. He makes a great point there.
Up to two to go get Jaden Daniels.
Minnesota's going to go to two to get Jaden Daniels. That's probably going to happen.
But they're solid places to go, and I think both of them are set up uniquely and rare in many ways to play well at the NFL level. But when we're talking about who owns the line of scrimmage better between Caleb. These two guys, when it comes to getting in and out of checks and changing protections, I would make the claim that that's Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Who has got a quicker and more lightning release?
Caleb.
I would make the case that that's Jaden Daniels. Okay. Who's a little bit more twitched up when it comes to fast hands?
Super twitched.
I would make the case that it's Jaden Daniels. I still think Caleb is really good in that. Who goes to the right place with the football on a consistent basis?
Caleb.
I'd make the case that that's Jaden Daniels. Okay. Who doesn't have extreme misses? Whoa. I'd make the case that it's Jaden Daniels. And who plays twitchier? I'd make the case that it's Jaden Daniels.
You're making a lot of cases for Jaden Daniels, Dan.
You know what I'm saying? Caleb, I think, is wildly talented.
There you go. See?
I just think when it comes to the quality of the play, Jaden's higher in that regard.
All right. Now, that's a mistake. I think he is an idiot, is what I think. I think Dan Orlovsky must just be an idiot. And what happens around this time, this is what you guys don't understand about this. Let me explain this to you. I do this. Never mind. I know these things and you don't. I'm a podcaster, so I'm plugged in. These guys get paid off. Okay, so there is a Jaden Daniels lobby out there. Probably his dad. I've heard terrible things about Jaden Daniels' dad trying to get like ownership stake or something in the team. No, that was Caleb's dad. Anyways, there are people who will pay off media members to say things that are nonsense, and that was nonsense because Caleb is heads and shoulders and tails, knees and toes above everybody else. Everybody knows it, including Dan Orlovsky. He's being stupid right now because he's being paid. I would just say he's stupid because I think he is stupid, but nobody's that dumb. Nobody is that dumb. And obviously, like, listen, once he went to the combine and had interactions with people, it was pretty obvious who the top guy is. Everybody loved the guy, right?
Yeah. Through that week of that combine, the negativity about Caleb outweighed the positivity.
Okay. All right. Listen, guys, good Lord, Skip. That's not true. I know for a fact there was no negativity about Caleb Williams. Skip Bayless is not telling the truth. In fact, here, I think we have an explanation to rationalize the nonsense
about Caleb.
And that's only because that was new, Skip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've never seen somebody go into the combine. Why did you fly in? Because you did nothing. You didn't work out. No. You did some interviews. They could have interviewed you anywhere.
Yeah, and he did a media interview.
You could have did that anywhere. So that's why the negativity started to come out.
And much of it swirled around the father's influence and participation in his career.
Yeah. Right?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
All right.
No, listen. Come on, guys. Come on. Look, he made a good point. It's just, it's people don't understand. There are these old school people who are like, you got to come into the combine and work out and you have to come in and do medical so we can make sure you're not hurt. And that's old school. New school, it ain't about that, bro. Have you heard of Instagram? I hear he's got a Superman logo that says CW on it, which is, Caleb Williams, not Christian Watson, although Watson could have done it and he didn't. Because even the Packers' young players are not quite on the same page. So there's Instagram. Do you remember? how many followers Justin Fields had. Like, so there are more important things than medicals. There's swag. And this guy's got all the swag. He's got confidence. Everybody know, you know, I don't need to listen to this bull crap.
So there are a lot of negativity launched none. Among some of the draft experts. You know, there have been experts. Some who are way down on Caleb. So nope. I saw a quote the other day nope. from Ryan Poles. We didn't get to it on the show, yeah, so I'll bring it up now.
Let's go.
But I saw Ryan Poles say what you just suggested. I'm having a hard time finding anybody with anything negative to say about Caleb.
There it is.
And I thought, well, I got somebody for you. There's Keyshawn, because you're not completely sold on Caleb.
Doesn't mean it's negative because I like Jaden Daniels. Okay. I just like Jaden Daniels.
I know, but there are things about Caleb's game you're not sold about.
But that's not negative.
No. Okay.
I don't like all the off-schedule stuff. I like exactly in right. rhythm. I like throwing in rhythm.
I'm sorry. I got to break character here. It's not negative. I just don't like it. That's positive. It's not negative that I dislike something. You don't understand, stupid.
In your back foot, getting underneath the center. I don't like catching a football 99.9% of the time out of shotgun, catching it and throwing it. But that's me.
That's your problem.
That doesn't mean it has to be Ryan Poles.
Right.
And Eberflus.
The Poles. You know,
that's just me. That's quarterbacks I like.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you like quarterbacks that like do quarterback stuff. Right? Like you got some things where it's like, okay, quarterbacks generally do these things and you don't do that. And I don't like that, but that's not negative. And, you know, shotgun throw, like, you know, schematic things, like you're helped by the scheme a lot. That's a him thing. That's not Caleb's problem. That's Keyshawn's problem. And Keyshawn clearly has several problems to put Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb, right? But as he said, it's not negative, it's all positive. But he doesn't have enough positive, obviously, because they don't understand the truth.
I believe the Bears aren't completely sold on Caleb.
Ugh.
I believe there's some trying to talk yourself into it. But even more so, I think...
Talk yourself into it. He's the greatest quarterback to ever come out of the college football since ever.
They're trying to hype the interest in that number one overall pick.
Nope.
Because they do want to pull off a great train robbery.
Lies.
For for Caleb to go first overall, and they would be able to take the quarterback of choice with the number two or three
pick. And there may be some truth to that. There could be some truth to it, because...
That's impossible. Listen, okay, maybe it's possible because the Bears are stupid, but Caleb is the guy, and even the Bears can't miss this one. He is... the guy. Are they ginning up hype? Sure they are. Of course they are. Are they trying to make it look like this is a slam, like they're going to get it? But even though they would get the biggest haul in history, because any team would be stupid, the Packers should give away every pick for the next 3 years to go up and get Caleb if they could. And that's, you know, that's speaking obvious nonsense here. I mean, it's so obvious it's stupid. You know what I mean? But the idea that the haul, even for three straight drafts, like every pick, it's not worth it. Caleb is the guy. But look, let's be honest about this. The anti-Caleb Williams thing is based on bigotry. And I have proof. Here is the most disgusting video you will ever hear in your life. It is sickening. Because of a video of Caleb Williams clearly holding somebody else's items. He's holding... you know, a keys with a big keychain. He's got a purse. He's got a pink phone. It's probably his girlfriend or his wife's phone, because he's great with the ladies, but he's also respectful, and he's going to put a ring on it and be faithful to one person, just like he's going to be faithful to one team, and he's going to do right by them. Parallels. See that? But here is the truth, the ugly truth behind the anti-Caleb Williams slander.
I'm not gonna say what Bailey put in there. See, Bailey was setting me up right now. I was about to read what Bailey wrote, and you know what Bailey wrote?
Would be right.
So we're gonna say it anyway then.
Right. It's like you defeat the whole purpose. Like, right, you still gonna say
Caleb Williams makes fruity appearance sick. At women's basketball game.
Sickening.
Bailey.
He's not fruity.
Caleb Williams, like, man. But I've never met him. And I'll say, that's listen, right. This cat could be the greatest kid ever. Or, yep. or what? I'll say whatever. I don't know, because I know how it is to be that cat being judged. But right. Let's dive into Caleb Williams. Can we show the video and pause it? Because I got a few other people that hit me up about this. I want to question, first of all, does he have lipstick on is the question.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Go
been
on.
Been asked many times.
Nah. Yeah. Now, his nails are definitely painted, though.
Oh, his nails are painted again.
Can't you tell? Y'all don't see that? Or am I tripping? am I tripping? Yeah, like, zoom
are
in.
Pearl? Are those pearl?
He got like a gold French tip.
If you say gold French tip, first quarterback off the board, homie.
He gonna be throwing that thing. Maybe they're just glossy though. Maybe I'm tripping. Am I tripping?
Nah, I think they're painted, homie. The girls say they're painted, bro.
The women know.
Some even said they're fake nails.
He got acrylic? Hey, he in there throwing that ball, though.
Okay, let me let you know. So, listen, he's got... Go back to that picture. He got...
That's his sister's phone, I heard.
You heard?
Yeah, I can't validate. I have no idea. I think it's his sister's phone.
We've been trying to defend...
Online, it says his sister's phone or something like that.
Allegedly, well, I posted that just as a joke. I said, hey, could be his girl's phone, could be his sister's. I don't know.
Right.
The keys are alarming too. Is that his girl's key? Because, you know, mostly that looks like a woman's keys for their car, right?
I think his girl or his sister, whoever he was with, went to like the bathroom and said, hey, can you hold this for me? And that's just so happened when he held it. And that's why he's holding it like that. Because if it was just his, it would just be in his pocket or something. I think he's literally holding somebody's stuff to his defense. And the camera came on.
Thank
and he's
you.
Just dancing and vibing.
Wait, what's the other thing in front of the phone?
Like a wallet, I think. It's like that's what I'm saying. It's like a key, a wallet, and a phone that he's holding of his sister or a girl, whoever he with. And they just so happened to put the camera on him.
What's he doing with his movement of his hands? Let me play the video.
He's dancing. He's vibing.
See, vibes. You don't understand vibes, bro.
How would you define that shit that we just saw? Leadership is what comes to my mind.
I'm glad the Bears, what's it, the corner that just signed, called him out.
Jalen Johnson
called him out. Was like, don't bring that Hollywood shit here. We'll call it Holly Weird, maybe now. Call it Holly Weird. I'm going to be honest. He gives me a certain vibe. He gives me a certain vibe of how he portrays himself. I'm just going to say that. I'm not saying he is that or that. I'm saying he gives me a vibe of how he portrays himself.
He wouldn't be the first one.
No, he wouldn't.
At all. So he could still go out there and ball out and go throw 40 touchdowns and 7 picks as a rookie. Good,
but the odds are he won't.
Why is that? C.J. Stroud just did it. From a skill set standpoint, he has the skill set of a C.J. Stroud. A skill set.
Thank you.
So like, huh?
How dare you?
He does not have a skill set of C.J. Stroud.
How dare you?
No, he doesn't. I don't know who told you that. I don't understand why people can sit here and I haven't heard that. I don't know where you heard that from. Two completely different. 1.64, 1.6 foot. One's over the top delivery. One is a 3-quarter delivery. One is a move around the pocket guy. One is a pocket guy. It's completely different. Caleb is not standing in there and throwing the ball over the middle. It's taking a chin shot. CJ is. Completely different skill set. CJ has a much bigger arm, much more accurate.
Oh,
I don't know where you got the same skill set.
Sickening.
I don't know who told you that. So maybe you heard that from somebody. I don't know.
But this is revisionist nonsense, okay? This is revisionist nonsense. Nobody thought last year's class was good. Nobody thought CJ Stroud was going to be good. Not even the Texans who drafted him. They're like, I guess. The Bears obviously didn't. I mean, maybe they knew, but they were forced to not pick it. Listen, that doesn't matter. All I know is that these are complete lies. Complete and utter lies.
That's not true. I'm just your homie. I'm telling you, as a homie, I'm telling you it's not true.
I respect you, the quarterback guru. I'm not gonna ever tell you you're wrong. All I'm saying is when you look at just the raw skill set, like you keep saying Caleb Williams ain't don't have a big arm. I gotta
disagree. He's Kyler Murray-esque.
Well, Kyler Murray didn't get this.
Kyler Murray has a big arm. Kyler Murray has a big time arm, but he's small. The launching point, his platform, we call it a platform. His platform's lower.
Caleb ain't small like Kyler, though.
Harder to get out. Kyler's put together now.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Oh. But Caleb ain't that small, though.
But I'm just saying they're both roughly, Kyler's shorter. I think Kyler would be thicker. Caleb looks thick, sloppy, though. Kyler doesn't. Even though Kyler can get that way fat. When he got injured, he kind of looks sloppy. But they're thick, very sloppy. Similar, I'm telling you. If you look at Kyler, look at Caleb, they're very similar.
Wow.
Sean King has said it on the show. We've had other guys like D.A. has said it on the show. Very similar in stature, very similar in how they play as well. They take their drop, they get to the drop, which they never stops. By the way, a drop that never hits their third or fifth step consistently is a problem.
No. That's not true. That's not true. I read the book that he's talking about. That was fake nonsense. That's a myth. So fake news, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't we take a break? I'm sorry you had to listen to that. That is disgusting. That's despicable. And obviously, this is a person who calls themselves a quarterback guru, but in reality is allowing his prejudicial biases to influence his view of the quarterback. And he tries to throw out things like platform and three-step drop and five-step. He's using that, these fake words and fake concepts, as a cover for blatant bigotry. Okay? That's what we're dealing with here. Just because he has acrylic nails on, just because he has shiny gold manicured nails on, that's some reason to dislike the guy because of his vibe. I don't know if you've heard, vibe is good. Have you ever heard of vibing? Has anybody been like, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm vibing. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No, you don't hear that because vibing is a good thing. So you don't like his vibe. That doesn't even make sense. That's like being like, I don't like the stuff that I like about you. Like that, it's a complete contradiction in terms. This guy doesn't understand. We'll come back and listen to a lot more of what he has to say for the sake of hating him and his bigotry. Okay, that's what we're gonna do, and we got plenty more, but I'm just sick of it, and it's time for the truth to come out about the future Hall of Fame quarterback for the Chicago Bears. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us. All right, so let's pick up more or less where we left off. Again, I apologize, trigger warning, inappropriate comments based on things that have nothing to do with the obvious truth that he is great. I want to get to Jalen Johnson's comments. We're going to get to some more of the just laying out the evidence that all negative comments about Caleb are untrue and are biased. But he referenced Jalen Johnson, and I just want to get to the quote so that we're specific and you can see that it doesn't mean anything. Receiver DJ Moore recently spoke about what Williams needs to do to earn from the locker room. Cornerback Jalen Johnson is the latest Bears veteran chiming in on Williams' impending arrival and how he needs to prove himself. Quote, you just humble yourself coming into the building. You can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially with guys who have played the game at a high level for consecutive years in the league. Guys like myself, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, now Keenan Allen, we're going to see through that. What you did in college, the Hollywood, nah, you got to prove yourself. Stuff like that doesn't matter. So, I mean, obviously that came from a place of love and respect. And let's not also gloss over the fact that he's acknowledging that this is the best quarterback and he will be picked and he will be going there. But he's just trying to get him ready for the greatness that is coming and just letting him know, you know, we're kind of hitting the reset button and you have to pave your own way. You got to pave your own path. And you will and I love you, right? I mean, it comes from a place of, I mean, you can just hear that in the tone of his words. First of all, let me just let this man finish up his thoughts about why he thinks Caleb is not a very good quarterback, I guess. Again, we've established he's completely biased and none of this means anything, but let me just let him explain from a quote-unquote film perspective or, you know, evaluate, it's whatever. Here he goes.
What do I mean? I'll answer you, Jay Smitty. What I mean is when you take a three-step and you don't hitch up or throw on your third step on time, transfer your weight, accurate football, know where you're throwing the ball, is a problem because you never see Kyler Murray hit his third or fifth step and throw it. You never see Caleb Williams do that either. What they do is they hit their third, they don't like it, and they immediately spin out or escape the pocket. So they never hit their third step or fifth step, climb the pocket, work the pocket, manipulate the pocket with their feet and their eyes. Manipulate the coverage with your eyes. You manipulate the pocket with your feet. They don't do that. They're escaping right away because they don't know what they're looking for. Oh. They don't know what they're looking at. So they hit and get out of there. That's what you see in both Caleb, Kyler, Justin Fields.
Come on now. That's where I got to get off. Saying that he doesn't know what he's looking at, just like Justin Fields, I can't participate in this. But let's hear some other whining.
USC's Caleb Williams enters the draft officially after saying, though, that he wants confirmation that the Bears trade Justin Fields. This guy has some brass balls on him, let me tell you.
Who are you, dog? Like, who?
Like, whining. Like, who cares, man? Like, so he has demands. Who doesn't have demands when you're the best prospect of all time? The Mannings did it. He's better than the Mannings. What's the problem?
Caleb Williams refuses medical examination at the NFL Combine. What the f*** is always going on with this f***? Like, I don't know. If I'm an owner, I'm just telling you right now, I'm deterred from this cat. Do you know he's the first ever,
I'm reading it,
to decline a medical examination?
That's something I've never heard this before. Like you said, it's never happened. So I'm not even for sure. I'm almost shocked.
Listen, so they're going to throw around the label diva, right? Oh, he's a diva. This is so typical hater behavior. This is because they're scared. Let me just tell you right now, this man is not a diva.
I think Caleb's talented. I have no idea how Caleb's going to handle adversity. I was told from people I trust within that SC organization, the only person he communicated with was Lincoln.
I've been told the same thing. I got friends on that staff.
Really?
Same thing.
Yes. He didn't even have any communication with Cliff Kingsbury. Nope. Like, it was just Lincoln. Lincoln and Caleb. Nobody else could talk to Caleb.
What?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know how that's going to play out. You know,
Smitty, I heard it's an absolute show up there. Like, I'm talking about bad. I don't think the reward outweighs the risk. I think you already have the reward. Build around it and use those picks to get better as an organization. You draft this kid, you're setting yourself back to what you were before you drafted Justin Fields.
The only thing that makes sense to take Caleb is job security. If you don't take Caleb and you keep Justin, you pretty much got to make the playoffs this year. And in that division, Detroit's really good. Green Bay's got a hell of a collection of young talent. They just added Josh Jacobs. I get it. If you draft Caleb, you at least got two.
Oh, so this is about job security. Oh, so this is some stupid theory that the GM only cares about keeping his job. If that was the case, wouldn't we see more signs of that? Like, granted, they went out and got like a 32-year-old quarterback or wide receiver or whatever, which is a short-term save your job move. But I mean, really? Really, we're going to go there? And so what if he doesn't really have a big circle of people he talks to? He's got to be in an elite headspace, bro. Here's another know-nothing with some critiques here.
First red flag for people is his combine activity. He elected to not throw and not to do the medical exams, which has never been passed up by any player in NFL history.
Wow, who cares?
Red flag number two is the dozens of social media headlines saying that Caleb Williams wants part ownership stake in whatever team drafts him. Now, the more and more research I did into this, it seems like his dad was actually the one that requested ownership for his son. It seems like his dad loves the camera, and I've been around long enough to know that the media can portray somebody in any light that they want. So if they want to make someone look like the villain, they will. If they want a person to be a hero, they will. So you guys can decide which one of those you believe. Also, the NFL prohibits giving equity in a franchise to current players or other employees within the organization, so there is no chance that Williams's or his dad's wishes will come true.
Caleb is not the headache, it's his dad. And once he gets drafted, his dad will no longer be a factor. So there you go.
Flag number three is how he consistently will pass up the correct throw to go for that home run play. There have been...
home run plays are good plays. What else?
Level. Red flag number four is just his overall size. Kalen Williams stands in at 6'1" tall, around 215 pounds. Not saying that he still can't be great.
Wow, that's not even, like, that small.
Is red flag number five, and personally my biggest red flag, which is his attitude.
Ugh.
Primarily his leadership and maturity. I don't particularly care about what he does off the field, but around the field, you need to conduct yourself a certain way. Something that I would think would be very important when looking for your franchise quarterback is making sure they know how to carry themselves after a tough loss or just during hard times in general. The first example of Williams showing that he might not be ready for the NFL level and the criticisms that come along with it was a game against UCLA on November 18th of last year where they lost 38-20. It wasn't anything that he did on the field, but afterwards he did decline to talk to the media following the loss, which is just something you don't do. From an outsider's point of view, this just makes you seem like a guy who thinks he's a little bit above everybody else, and it's just not the best look. Second example came just 2 weeks prior on November 4th. After a tough loss against Washington, by the way, he played an incredible game in that one, Caleb ran into the crowd and started crying into his mom's arms. Now, you can say whatever you want about that, whether it's his passion to win or whatever you want to say. I'm going to tell you what I would expect from a matured 21 to 22-year-old who is ready for the NFL and everything that goes along with it. After that loss to Washington, you go over and shake their hands. Tell them it was a great game and all that. Give them props for how they played. Then you go over, say hi to your family or whatever, but you go to that locker room. And a true leader is going to step up in that situation when everybody's heads are down. And that leader is going to pick the people around him up. It doesn't matter if you lost the game. You let all those guys know in the locker room that they are family and they did everything they could in that moment. You tell them that they will bounce back and be better because of that loss. You learn a lot more from failures in life than wins. Now, if you're just one of those players that are crying in the locker room or on the field in this case, that doesn't make you a leader in my eyes. If he gets to the NFL level and doesn't improve his mental maturity, who in the locker room is going to accept him as a leader if he does that? I mean, these are grown men we're talking about. He was interviewed later on and stated that he acted like that because that's who he is. That was raw emotion, along with stating that he really wanted to get a big win for his teammates. But this was all a bit hypocritical in my eyes because there was a tweet sent out by Robert Griffin III on December 3rd, 2022, about a quarterback named Max Duggan saying, quote unquote, how can you not root for Max Duggan? Max had just lost a huge game and thought TCU's playoff chances were gone, so he was visibly upset and tearing up during the post-game interview. A day later, Caleb then quotes the tweet and says, LOL, seemingly laughing at the fact that Duggan was crying. He later ended up deleting the tweet and said, wasn't laughing at Max D, happy for him, his journey, his team, and his passion for the school. I feel the same way after we lost this year. That makes no sense at all. Why would you say LOL to that tweet? Laughing out loud that I'm so happy for you, your journey, your team, and passion. That's so funny.
Again, what are we hearing? Superficial. Oh, he's not a leader. He cries. He paints his nails. He has a pink phone. He's a diva. He doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't talk to his teammates. Thinks he's better than everybody. That has nothing to do with anything. None of that matters. Finally, let's actually listen to somebody talk about things that matter, not his clothing selections or his manicures or you know, whether or not he possibly wears makeup. Let's talk about the film. Let's talk about the tape, all right? Let's get Merrill Hodge on Caleb Williams.
Sure. From a pocket presence, he is not special. I don't watch him. In fact, his gift hurts him. A player like him, I've seen this so many times. He has a gift that everybody thinks is exciting and is special, and that is his unique mobility. Okay, that's not going to win you a championship, and being exciting is not a skill set. Now,
If that was true, then Justin Fields would have been a bust. So I don't think you know what you're talking about.
His elusiveness is rare. I would argue it's better. He's more elusive than Patrick Mahomes. Does that make him better than Patrick Mahomes? Absolutely not. It just tells you that he has that dynamicness to him. Now, the problem with that is when, and he does this playing from the pocket when the pocket's clean, and then when the pocket's dirty, he does it more so. But he'll leave plays on the field. What I mean is from the pocket, you get a coverage, you get a route combination. And I've said, they don't do a whole host of this, which is another layer of concern, is they predominantly are a college system. I mean, they're as pure a college system as you can get. They are a lateral team. But they do some things down the field. They're not like NFL concepts. So you have to look at that as best you can and get a feel for that. He will not make the first throw sometimes because he's got 4 seconds. There's no reason to do that. In a lot of ways, he processes stuff, as you've seen process stuff, because he's done so many magical things by moving and being elusive. So in the NFL, you don't have that luxury anymore. Like when a guy is open, you got to give him the ball. Okay, what makes Tom Brady the greatest in the history of the game? Okay, and I'll even get to Patrick Mahomes in a second. He executes plays. When the flat route's there, give him the flat route. When the slant's there, give him the slant. And it's then the ability to throw it into tight windows. And even when a guy may look covered, but that is based on his positioning and based on where the defender is, the guy is open. In the NFL, you hardly see – very few people in college do it. Like Patrick Mahomes – Burrow would do this. C.J. Stroud, I would see do this. But keep in mind, last year when C.J. Stroud was coming out, he was the only guy that was a first-round value. I mean, the Carolina Panthers are going to be years in recovery for what they did with Bryce Young because wow. He was so limited. And those limitations aren't changing. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, the Chicago Bears are benefiting this. But, and I'll tell you this, that, Caleb's skill set is better than that. But I'll get that in a sec. So just finishing up, that's what to me is special because a guy that can transition to the league and play in that arena. And they show the evidence in college that, man, they got a shot to do that. Now, when you look at Caleb, the one thing that I am telling you is unique. As unique as I have seen it, and I've been doing this for 40 years from playing, coaching, studying. His accuracy is unique. And that is a gift. And the thing that I'm talking about that I haven't seen enough evidence to make him special doesn't mean he can't do that eventually. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying he will always fight this hurdle of his ability to make plays and move. And can he harness that and break that and make that a part of his last resort versus sometimes I'll just go to it. And that right there can ruin players more than it can help players. And there's a lot of things that he doesn't control that are completely out of his scenario. This expectation that he is Patrick Mahomes is going to be a daunting thing. Let's just take Patrick Mahomes came to a playoff team, sat his first year, and those two things are not going to be his luxury. And he had great coaching. And that coaching matters. So there's three things that he has nothing to do with but are going to play a role in this. He's not going to a playoff team if he goes to Chicago. They've got new coaching again, which, has been some of their biggest issues. You can't be consistent with anything. I know of no business that exists on planet Earth where you change every year and you're going to get better as a company or as a unit, as a team, or as an organization. It's just not going to happen. It's nearly impossible for that to happen. And that is what they have consistently done. So that's when I look at special. And doesn't mean he doesn't have other great skill sets. I think he processes things based on the college system very well. He does do that. One, those areas of concerns that you must master to be an excellent quarterback in the National Football League and from the pocket aspect of it. He does enough of that damage that will be damaging in the NFL if he doesn't learn to develop his skill set and get rid of the football and give it to the guy who deserves the ball. If it's a slant route, give him the slant route. Don't hold it going, well, I think I can get something else out of that. in the National Football League, it's not going to work out for you as well as it did college. And it's not just making bad throws. It is getting hurt.
Well, listen, all I have to say, the whole thing is, you know, he came out and said that Justin or Caleb Williams wasn't special. Well, the way he described him sounds like Justin Fields. And so obviously he's wrong, because if that was the case, then the Bears would be screwed because they would just draft another Justin Fields. He's flashy. He does things that make people go, wow, he's got great highlights. But on a NFL level, which is much tighter windows, quicker response time, it's about processing and accurately getting the ball to the right person at the right time. And you're saying he can't do that. I say you're a liar and a loser, Merrill Hodge. Well, I've had enough of this. I think we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I'm going to do my own analysis, and I'm going to tell you why there is no debate. And Caleb Williams is the best college quarterback, I think, ever to come out. And then we'll all see the truth, whether we want to or not. And it may be painful. Again, I understand it's painful for Packer fans to accept this. But, you know, we gotta just deal with it. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, boys and girls, it's time to stop screwing around. It's time to really dive into Caleb. You know, we heard about his personality. We heard about the film. Let's delve into some of the statistics, okay? Caleb Williams, 22.3 years old, 6'1", not 5'9", 6'1", respectable, 215, that's a thing. He had a 68% completion percentage, 3,647 yards, 9.3 yards per attempt, 30 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, 90.3 PFF grade, 84.6 passing grade, 6.2% big-time throw rate, 3.6% turnover-worthy play rate, 117.4 NFL passer rating. The guy is a stud. Now, let's get rid of the low-hanging fruit first, right? We know that he's the best quarterback prospect probably to ever grace a football field. Let's first establish that he's better than Fields and Trubisky, and then we can talk about best ever, okay? So let's just take it point by point here. Completion percentage of 68%, which is incredible. Granted, Mitch Trubisky was 68.2, basically a tie, and Justin Fields was 69.9. But that doesn't matter. Who gives a crap about completion percentage? Yards, Justin Fields, who played, well, he played a half a season and got 2,000 yards. The year before was 3,273, which is less than 3,647. So, suck it. It's not quite as many yards as Mitch Trubisky's 3,767, but it's second place behind Mitch. So, whatever. That touchdown to interception ratio, 30 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Who can touch that? Mitch Trubisky, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. It's almost identical. Let's see. Justin Fields, though. The last year he played a full year, 41 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That can't be right. Well, I mean, the 2020, when he played a half a season, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So that's not quite as good. You know what I mean? Anyways, PFF grade 90.3. Who's touching that? Justin Fields, 93.5. Mitch Trubisky, 88.5. Not as good. Not as good. Passing grade, though, 84.6 for Caleb Williams. 92 for Justin Fields, 86 for Mitch, which would put Caleb in third place. Big-time throw percentage, though, higher than Mitch Trubisky. 6.2, Mitch Trubisky was 5.5. Caleb, 7.8. The year before that, 8.7. The year before that, 9.5. He had an 8.4 average in his career, which is really high. Caleb, 6.2. So not quite as much of a big-time thrower as Fields. Okay, granted. Turnover-worthy plays, though, 3.6%. Trubisky, 3.7%, about the same. Justin Fields, 2.3%. 2.2 was his career average in college. Adjusted completion percentage, which is more than stupid completion percentage, 77.5. 74.5 for Mitch. Justin Fields, 80.8.
Okay. Let's see. Time to throw. We know Justin Fields is terrible, right? So Mitch Trubisky, 2.66. Caleb Williams, 3.16, right? Okay, Mitch is just standing in the pocket, loser, whatever. But Fields has got to be worse, right? Caleb Williams, 3.16 seconds. Justin Fields, 3.11 second in the pocket. But over the course of his career, he was 3.14. Caleb is 3.27 seconds. 117.4 is a better passer rating than Mitch Trubisky. Not in 2015. He had a 155. I mean, honestly, 2015 is when Mitch Trubisky really shined. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't count. Justin Fields, 120.4. 127 is his career passer rating, 118 for Caleb. It kind of, I'm not going to lie here, kind of feels like Justin Fields was a better prospect. So 3 years, though, for Caleb Williams of, you look at his grades, 91, 92, 90. Justin Fields, 90, 92, 94. Passing, though, Justin Fields, 83, but then 92, 92, 90, 90, 84. So it's kind of like Justin Fields in reverse, where Fields got better every year, and Caleb got worse every year as a passer. So there's that. Caleb, 9.1 yards per attempt. Justin, 9.2. Touchdowns. 93 and 14 interceptions. Caleb, Justin, 67 and 9. That's in Justin's favor as far as the touchdown to interception rate. Again, big time throw. Caleb, 6.2. Justin, 8.4. Turnover worthy play, 2.6 compared to 2.2. Trying to find one area where he's better than Justin Fields here. Again, adjusted completion percentage is Fields. Time to throw is Fields, shockingly, and passer rating is Fields. It's kind of Fields in every single category except cumulative. Caleb has played more than Justin did, which I don't know that that's a great thing. Justin Fields' lowest graded game in his final year was a 69.5. Caleb's was a 56.5. Highest graded game was a 92.3. Caleb, 92.8. They're slightly better. There's one thing he's better at. Height and weight, Caleb 6'1", Justin 6'3". Caleb 215, Justin 228. Justin obviously is a better athlete than Caleb Williams also. Boy. Well, we've established that he's maybe marginally better than Mitch Trubisky, right? I mean, granted, the completion percentage is lower. The yards were lower. Touchdown to interception is identical. The passing grade for Caleb is lower. But, you know, everything else, I mean, it's almost identical. He's actually very similar to Mitch Trubisky, but better in those other areas. Big-time throw, turnover-worthy play, passer rating, etc. So I think we've established he's the better quarterback than Mitch Trubisky, okay? Way better. And then, you know, if you compare him to this year's class, obviously, I mean, Justin Fields is generational. You know, I mean, he's obviously an elite quarterback that got ruined by the Bears. It's nothing to do with that. Caleb is significantly different, though. I mean, you look at completion percentage this year. I mean, Bo Nix is better, and J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. But aside from that, Caleb is really good. Total yards, I mean, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, all better than Caleb, but still. Yards per attempt would be Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix again. Touchdown to interception, 30 compared to 5 interceptions, obviously is amazing. Granted, Jaden Daniels was 40-4 and Bo Nix was 45-3. PFF grades, it would be Jaden Daniels, then Bo Nix, then Michael Penix, then Drake May, then J.J. McCarthy, then Caleb Williams, though. Passing grade would be Bo Nix, then Jaden Daniels, then Michael Penix, then Drake May, then J.J. McCarthy, then Caleb Williams. Caleb, hello. Remember him? So, shut up. Rushing grade. Caleb has a really good rushing grade. Way higher than everybody except Jaden Daniels. Big-time throw percentage, as I mentioned, was really high for him. Not as high as Jaden Daniels or Drake May or Michael Penix. or Michael Pratt, for that matter, but still really high, big-time throw rate. Turnover-worthy plays, I mean, Bo Nix was at 1%, Jaden 1.6, Drake May 1.9, Michael Penix 2, Spencer Rattler is 2.2, scrolling here, J.J. McCarthy 2.9, I mean, JT Daniels is 3.4. There's Caleb, 29th. He's 3.6. So it's not that bad, really. Adjusted completion percentage, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Spencer Rattler. Caleb is 8th, though. He's 8th on that list. Time to throw, he's 3rd. Granted, that's 3rd worst, but 3.16 seconds. Beat that, sucka. If you sort it from quickest release to slowest release, then let's see, where would he rank here? He would rank 54th out of 56. But, you know, it's kind of subjective which direction you want to sort that, I think. And then, of course, you get to NFL passer rating. He has a very high NFL passer rating, or I should say passer rating. NFL doesn't, I mean, well, that's what it's called. But 117.4 is great. Bo Nix was 135.7, Jaden Daniels 143.7, but still, generational. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like Caleb Williams. Deep passing, guy is elite beyond elite. He has a 95.4 deep passing grade, which is almost as high as Bo Nix, Drake May, and Jake Daniels. Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix 95.5, Drake May 97.1, Jaden Daniels 99.2. Pressure. That's what matters. In the NFL, it's all about how you handle pressure. And Caleb Williams can handle himself under some pressure. Let me tell you that right now. All right. Under pressure, you've got Bo Nix, who has a 91.5 PFF grade while under pressure, which is pretty crazy, but whatever. Jaden Daniels, 82.2. J.J. McCarthy, 75.8. Now, granted, those are the only ones with good grades. You got one elite, one great, one good, and then it drops down to a 66, which is where you get Drake May, who is fourth. So Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Drake May are 1, 2, 3, 4. Quickly behind that is Michael Penix with a 65, basically, grade. And then Caleb's got to be here somewhere, 60... No, 50 through 56, 49, 40. Where is Caleb here? Hold on, I'm sorry. He's here somewhere. I know he's, there he is, 39th, 41.4 PFF grade. 739 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 41 PFF, 38.9. passing grade under pressure. Okay. Not, you know, the thing is, here's the thing. Pressure is a bit of a construct. You know, I think it's a, it's one of those social construction things where we talk about it and we make it a big thing by talking about it. But is it a big thing? No. Well, look, okay. So maybe he's only marginally better than Mitch Trubisky. Maybe he's not as good as Justin Fields was coming out. Maybe he's not the most impressive quarterback in the 2023 class in terms of what he was able to do. Maybe he's a little bit of a diva, and maybe he's a little weird, and maybe the Bears players are preemptively, you know, sending him messages on social media about dial down the stupid diva stuff. And maybe he wasn't a great teammate. And maybe from a scouting perspective, he has some flaws. He doesn't see the field very well. He doesn't throw on time. He breaks down too early. He's very, very similar in that regard to the Arizona Cardinals quarterback, who's been kind of a piece of crap. I mean, sometimes he's really good though, you know, better than Fields, I think, in terms of sometimes really looking scary. But he's not good. Don't let any of that dissuade you from the truth. And that is, Packer fans, you're scared. You're just scared. You're scared, little coward, loser boy. And it's about time you admit it. So find your local Bears fan and admit to him you are scared of Justin Fields, the greatest quarterback prospect to ever do anything ever, who is almost identical to Justin Fields in that He has some of the best highlight reels you've ever seen, but on a play-to-play basis, he's just not good at being a quarterback. You guys have a good rest of your day. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.